We want to get right to Senator Sherrod Brown. We are going to talk about the tax reform bill. Senator Brown, good morning. Welcome to the morning show on WEOL.
Good to be back. Thanks.
Well, you can't go anywhere without hearing about this bill. If you could please tell us about the bill from your point of view and what your stance is.
Well, I'll give you one statistic. 83% of this bill over the years, by the seventh year of this bill, 83% of the benefits for this bill go to the top 1%, and it's the number increases as the bill takes effect. 83% of the benefits go to the top 1%, and you know, look what's happened to the middle class. They talk about this being a middle class tax bill. If you want to cut tax to the middle class, then darn it, focus on the middle class and cut tax for the middle class. Instead, this bill will make it more likely that companies outsource because it gives all kinds of incentives. So you shut down production in Elyria or in North Ridgeville or in Avon Lake, and you move overseas, you get a tax break, and you get a bigger tax break than you got before. And it's just outrageous. I mean, this is just a giveaway. That's why three-fourths of the public doesn't like this bill. It's a giveaway to big corporations and the richest people of the country, and the middle class will continue to shrink.
Senator, as you might expect, we received your statement overnight. We received a statement from Senator Rob Portman, a statement from the DNC, a statement from the RNC. And if you look at these, you think to yourself, at least I do, how can these people be talking about the same bill? Senator Portman says the bill will cut taxes for middle-class families, reform our business tax code. It addresses international tax codes as well. But you don't see it the same way.
Well, I'll start with this. The tax breaks for the tax cuts for corporations are permanent. Once they're there in the law forever, the tax breaks for the middle class, which are frankly inadequate, and if you look at most studies, pretty small, the tax breaks for the middle class, the tax breaks for individuals expire. So why would they do that? They would do that because their focus is on corporate interests and corporations. The other thing this bill does that they never like to acknowledge is it blows a huge hole in the budget deficit. And you know from covering politics for years, if there's a big hole in the budget deficit, the Republicans come back to Congress and say, well, we've got to raise the eligibility age for Social Security, we've got to cut Medicare. And you can bet, two or three years from now, Republicans are going to come back. Maybe earlier, Paul Ryan's already said they got to start working on, quote, what he calls entitlements. That means raising the eligibility age for Medicare and Social Security. It means that a senator that gets good health care insurance from taxpayers, okay, so what? I mean, we can work past 65, but for a barber in North Ridgeville or a construction worker in Elyria or a factory worker in Vermilion, they can't work till they're 70 with the abuse that those jobs are. A woman working in a diner in Lorraine. It's just outrageous that members of Congress think raising the eligibility age for Medicare and Social Security makes sense, also they can pay for tax cuts for their biggest contributors. This bill, as I said, 83%, 82% of this bill goes to the richest people, the richest 1% of people in the country. That is fact, in spite of what anybody else wants to say about it.
You mentioned that the bill encourages companies to basically, you know, move jobs out of the country. But supporters would say it cuts the corporate tax rate that most people agree was too high to begin with in terms of other countries. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. Right now, there is an incentive. You can deduct the cost of your move. If you shut down production in North Ridgeville or Elyria or Lorraine and move to Wuhan or Beijing or Xi'an, China, you can deduct the cost of the move. This bill didn't eliminate that, so that's still in the revised code in the law. But the bill did add a minimum tax rate that is averaged around the country. So you have these tax havens which have a 3 or 4 or 5% rate, with some that are higher, but as long as it stays under a 10% average, it's incentive for these companies to move overseas. You can't reduce the corporate tax rate in the United States to the level to compete with these tax havens. Then it's close to zero. We don't want to do that. Corporations pay such a small part of AT&T, they love to say if you cut taxes on corporations, people will get raises and create jobs. AT&T over the last several years has had an 8%. They've paid an effective 8% tax rate. You can say what the law is, but they pay 8% tax rate, and they've cut jobs over the years. They're making money. huge profits, pay little taxes. They're not investing it in their workers. They're not paying their workers more. They're sending it. It goes to stock buybacks. It goes to dividends. It goes to executive compensation. I want to cut taxes for corporations, but you do it. My Patriot Corporation Act bill, which I handed to the president in the cabinet room at the White House, simply says if a company pays its workers well, if its company pays benefits to its workers, if a company keeps its jobs in the United States, then you cut the corporate tax rate. That's the way you should reward good behavior, not give across-the-board tax cuts for these companies, big 40% tax cuts to these companies that outsource jobs.
Talking to Senator Sherrod Brown this morning, we are talking about the tax reform bill.
You also mentioned in your statement from overnight, passage of this would mean 13 million Americans will lose health insurance. How and why?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office said because they eliminate part of the Affordable Care Act, that 13 people will lose insurance, a million people will lose insurance. So you've got, as we said earlier, you've got a bunch of members of Congress, privileged members of the Senate, who have good-paying jobs. We all do. We're paid well. We have good health insurance. And we voted last night, or my colleagues voted by two votes last night, to take insurance away from 13 million people. And these 13 million people, they're people that make $8 and $10, $12 an hour, $15 an hour in places like Lorain and Elyria and Ridgeville, people making $8, $10, $12, $15 an hour that don't have insurance. They don't have the insurance that we do. And my colleagues, to me, it's just morally outrageous. My colleagues are willing to take their insurance away. At the same time, this bill also, according to the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan group that we all look to for unbiased information, says that this bill will mean a 10% increase in premium. So if you're paying $500 a month now, you'll pay $550 a month next year, $605 the next year. Do the math. 10% increase every year as far as the eye can see. And that's good policy.
When you say take away health insurance, are you talking about the individual mandate being eliminated?
Yep, and we know that, again, that's, yeah, yes, and the we know from the Congressional Budget Office that means 13 million people lose insurance over time.
But they have the option of paying for insurance or paying the fine, or no? No fine, just
well,
getting
now,
insurance
no.
if
now,
they want.
That's right, now. But the fact is the people now that get insurance that in the exchanges, the whole point of this is you want in the insurance pool, you want young, healthy people. This provision was taken from Mitt Romney, Republican presidential nominee, from Mitt Romney's plan in Massachusetts, which has worked when he was governor. And you need young, healthy people in the insurance pool. People your age or my age that have insurance, we cost a little bit more because we're more likely to go to the doctor more often than somebody who's 22. So you want to give incentives to get 22-year-old healthy people in the insurance pool. They know that blows this up. That's why 13 million people lose their insurance. That's why premiums will go up, because the cost of insurance will go up when younger, healthy people aren't there to stabilize the insurance pool.
One final question. Will the factory worker down the street in Lorain see a little bigger paycheck come February?
The factory worker in Lorain could lose her insurance. So in that way they lose. They will get, the first year, they may get a few $100 savings on their insurance. But then the next year it'll be less, and the next year after that it'll be less. At the same time, that factory worker is going to see cut because of the huge hole in the budget deficit to pay for this tax cut for big corporations. That factory worker down the street in Lorain is going to see, there's a good chance that there will be more middle-class tax hikes to pay for this. And we know that by the seventh year, they will end up paying higher taxes, and they likely, whatever they get in tax cut this next year, could very well be eaten up in the cost of their premium increase. So as I said, these numbers are not mine. 83% of the benefits in this bill go to the richest 1%, and then you got a huge hole in the budget deficit that will be made up by going after Social Security, Medicare, education, healthcare spending. I've been here a long time. It's the most morally outrageous thing I've ever seen in Congress.
Senator Sherrod Brown, thank you very much for joining us this morning on the Morning Show on WEOL.
We'll do it again.